Our scripture this morning is in the New Testament, Romans chapter 10, verse 12 through 15, and you may find it in the Bible on page 160 in the New Testament. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one that they've not believed in? And how can they believe in one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Holy God, may the peace of Christ fill all our hearts and work through us to bring your message of love and grace to all those who are hurting, all those who are hating, all those who have been rendered helpless. In Christ's name, amen. Preaching from Romans in the 21st century is different from what it was when Paul was preaching. Preaching from Romans this week has become quite challenging. As Cassie did so well, the message is how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful. And if ever there was a time we needed good news, the time is now. And just what is good news anyway? And how are we to bring it? Because as Adam said so well in his message last week, we're not just talking here about preachers. We're talking about the whole body of Christ. When we think of those who have brought good news that we still consider good news and have gone before us and have spoken the truth, we think of Nelson Mandela and Desmond Tutu and Liberian Christian Lima Bowie, who united Christian and Muslim women together in the efforts of peace. We think about young 20-year-old Malala, a Muslim Pakistani teen who is a human rights advocate, and we do have some big shoes to fill. Being messengers of the good news usually involves going outside our outside symbols. In other words, the cross that we may wear, the ashes that we have on our forehead when we come out of an Ash Wednesday service. It gets a little uncomfortable because bringing good news usually means that we have to open our lips and speak the good news and talk about our Christian beliefs when it's important to do so, and then, harder still, act on what we have just said. The faith of our hearts is never fully formed until it emerges for all the world. So what's the good news? What is it to be Christ-like? We sang in that song, I want to be a Christian in my heart. What does it mean to show love? As Christians, it sometimes means we apologize. This past Wednesday, 72 years ago, the United States dropped an atomic bomb on the Japanese city of Nagasaki 3 days after it had dropped one on Hiroshima, and over 150,000 lives were destroyed. And so each year, the United Methodist Church takes part in a worldwide apology and a remembrance of what happened and the lives that were destroyed. Not only that, in our book of discipline and the social resolutions and the social principles in this past year, our newest book of discipline, it says the United States believes war, the United Methodist Church believes war to be incompatible with the teachings and the example of Christ. Did you hear what I said? We believe war to be incompatible with the teachings of Christ. Now, that is something that we can all acknowledge, I think, is incompatible with Christian teaching. Further, the church supports the abolition of nuclear weapons, and we call upon all nations to renounce the vile instruments of mass destruction and to move to dismantle all warheads and delivery vehicles. The Council of Bishops says there's two ways that you can do these things. One is be personally involved in every level in nurturing the right kind of political action and toward an imperative of shalom, of peace for all. The second is to be regularly engaged, all the community of faith, every member, with policymakers who are dealing with foreign policy and defense policy. Because of the need for spiritual and political peace, the World Council of Churches has designated this very Sunday, August 13, 2017, as the Sunday of Prayer for Peaceful Reunification of the Korean Peninsula. Many of you know Ian Ling, who graduated with Eric and Nicole. And you know that he's back in Taiwan now. And you know that he's just south of South Korea. And so in talking to him this week, it's like a miracle and a thanksgiving to wake up in the morning. Lately, will I wake up in the morning? And then you wake up and you say, thank you. We're called to speak the truth. We're called to speak the truth to evil in our baptismal vows. When we take them, and those of you who have been recently baptized, remember this. We say, do you reject the presence of evil in any form that it presents itself to you? And, second part of that question, do you acknowledge that God gives us the power to resist that evil in any form that it presents itself? So we're called to speak the truth. We're called to speak the truth about Charlottesville. To acknowledge that racism is a persistent sin. It goes against everything that Jesus taught. Racism promotes hatred, not love, anger, not compassion, vengeance, not mercy. When a mother tells me, like she did earlier this week in my hometown, that she has to think about where she's going to live, because she's African-American and she has an African-American middle schooler son. And she has to think carefully about where she can and should live, the safest place in the United States. We know racism still exists. And so I have to acknowledge right then as a Christian, her fear is well-founded. And then the next thing I have to do is to find out how I can take some kind of action to remove whatever it is that is having her have to make a decision I never had to make about any of my three sons. When we look at the faces of those protesters that we have seen this week on TV, they're marching, and some of us see the same color of faces looking back at us, then that's when we say, oh, It is for sure that I have to speak up, not just have that profound disgust, but I have to speak up about what it is that I'm seeing. And remember this passage that says there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and gives riches to every single person. We have to say that the carrying of Nazi flags is evil. That flag is a symbol of evil, a symbol of a failed state that brutally killed more than 6 million Jews, countless Romani people. All of these groups, which were judged to be inferior, those who sacrificed their lives in World War II defeated that evil. And so it's truly un-American to carry a flag for an evil dictatorship that our country defeated. Father James Martin asked the question, how many of those white Christian, white supremacists call themselves Christian? And then he answered his own question. He said, probably most of them. But to me, he said, a Christian white supremacist is an oxymoron. And I say, yes. He said, every time you shout white power, you might as well be shouting, crucify him. And anytime you lift your hand in a Nazi salute, you might as well be lifting your hand to nail Jesus on a cross. Unless you miss the point, he concluded, your Savior is Jewish. Alice McKenzie, whom I quote a lot, and she's a preaching professor at Perkins School of Theology, and she says, you know what? Our country is literally going back to the lynching tree, to hate crimes against mosques, to the internment camp, to violence against LGBTQ Americans and the burning cross. And she says, not only do we need to take a page out of hatred and racism by those messengers who have big shoes, Bowie, Mandela, Tutu, Malala, the governor of Virginia, the mayor of Charlottesville, the president of Virginia, the former president, Barack Obama. But most of all, she says, we need to take a page out of the gospel, which says we do renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, we reject the evil powers, and we accept the freedom God gives us to resist that, to push back, and to call for the unification of all of God's children. Rick and I, as some of you know, went to New York this past weekend. Something we like to do is take in some Broadway shows. We took in 4 in 3 days. And so when it was over, I said to Rick, you know, these shows, and I think, you know, Carrie, the gospel message that I sometimes don't hear from the pulpit, they kind of like better sermons than I preach, you know, and I started with the first one we saw, Groundhog Day, because that's a family favorite as a movie, and we said to ourselves, how in the world are they going to make a Broadway show out of that? But they did. And so the message is, you know, you can get up one day, and if you don't be good. If you're not good that day, you can get up the next day. You have another chance to be good. Or you can get up the next day, same day, have another chance to be good, over and over. That's pretty gospel. And then Avenue Q. Yes, we went to see an X-rated or whatever that is. It says, they sing a song about it's okay to be gay. And then they sing a song about every one of us is a little bit racist. All the colors up there are singing this song. And then dear Evan Hansen tells us that even those who are the loneliest and the most isolated find a chance somehow to be a part of this life. I do love Broadway, but I am not suggesting that any of you start substituting Broadway for going to church. I am suggesting that somehow the fear and the uneasiness that we often have, the hesitation to speak up, could take a lesson from Broadway. I'm suggesting that we put lips and action to those feelings that are in our hearts, and that we bring the gospel message that every day we do get another chance in Christ to be good, all of us, and that it is okay to be gay, and that every one of us, yes, is a little bit racist, and that those who are the very loneliness and most isolated have a chance to be part of this community of faith, that there is no longer Jew or Gentile in Christ Jesus. We have some big shoes to fill, but we can do it. We can overcome. Amen.